The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, that which I've received from the Lord do I declare unto you. Follow me even as I follow Christ, Paul says. You see, Elijah said, you'll get a double portion of my ministry if you keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on the leader as they're leading, you know, in Christ, as they're following Christ. But ultimately, it's fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's always looking to Jesus.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 7.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because
I've had those working for me in surfboards years ago, a number of guys. And it was interesting, one fella that, he was a big part of the church, but before, when he first came over, he was a surfboard guy, and he did a really good job at first, and so I hired him. And then he got really sloppy afterwards. I had to constantly be in his case. It's almost like he did it to impress, and then I just let go. You see, some come in, they want to impress, but then they just kind of let go. And after a number of years, he backslid. He still backslid. Every once in a while, I'll see him. And I'll just, you know, I still love the guy. Real pleasant guy. And then another fella, so conscientious, such a conscientious worker. I mean, just incredible. You know, it's just like, man, he would do a better job than I was even asking for. You know, that is really something tested, to be trusted. Now he's retiring because he's been ministering for 50 years almost. And he's Mike Stangle out in the North Shore. You know, he just mentioned that he will be retiring, putting somebody else in there. But boy, so, you know, it's so easy when you just watch them in the secular. How are they doing? Are they faithful? Are they conscientious? Are they, you know, and so God tests so that he might trust. You see, be aware that God's testing often happens in the ordinary circumstances of life. He just used those ordinary circumstances. He tests us so he can trust us. I think that's what we see here. I mean, I'm making that connection here because that's what God is doing. You know, he says, okay, these guys are going to go to battle. Oh, I know that God can use anybody, but I think there are certain principles for our life that we need to abide by. But notice this, now 300 against, what is it, 135, 137, I didn't look it up, but it's right around there. So now it's 450-1, the enemy against you, Gideon, and your army. Wow. Those are odds that, are pretty radical. But God's math, that's an important principle of ministry because subtraction equals multiplication. Sometimes when God takes away, he does that so that they might multiply back to the ministry. Maybe it's just in quality for the ministry. And then comes, you know, the quantity and time. I think if you have quality, you're going to have quantity eventually. Well, notice he goes on, verse 9, we'll go to verse 11. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you are afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp, and you will hear what they say. And afterwards your hearts or your hands will be strengthened that you may go down against the camp." So he went with Purah, his servant, down to the outpost of the army that was in the camp. So God says, "Gideon, if you're afraid, take Purah to go with you." So what does Gideon do? He takes Purah to go with him. He was afraid. You see, fear is a feeling. Faith is an action. You overcome the feeling of fear by the action of faith. So he still acted. He went down. You see, I think if we're never stepping out for God and there's not some trepidation, some uneasiness, maybe we're carving out our own walk to where we can do it. I don't like to fear. I don't like to exercise faith. So I'm just going to do what I know I can do. You see, maybe we're doing that. I mentioned Mario Andretti, a great race car driver. He says, if the car is always under control, you're going too slow. You see, if you are never kind of in a little bit of fear to what you're jumping into, maybe you're in charge. You're carving out your walk to suit yourself. But God is always going to call you to bigger things. It's going to take faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so I think when we talk about venturing out, if we do venture out and it brings fear, it's not a slavish fear. That's not the kind of fear, but it's a healthy kind of fear. Knowing if God doesn't come through, I've had it. I think, you know, we've done that so much here at Calvary Chapel. I've done that in my life, moving from North Shore to town. Danita didn't want to go at first, but I just felt like, you know, the work is done, you know, on the North Shore, turning it over to Mike Stangle, you know, great pastor out there, you know, so faithful, so loyal, so conscientious about things. And he's been doing it for so long and coming in town, but we didn't have anything. One month's salary, that was it. We came in town. I know I was a little reckless doing that, but I remember just waking up in the middle of the night and just crying out to God, "Lord, help. Lord, forgive me if I made a mistake." You see, I didn't mind going down the tubes, if that's what it was going to do, you know, jumping out there in faith, but I didn't want my three kids and my wife to go down the tubes. So it was really a step of faith, and there was fear involved. But you know, it's an amazing thing how we went to our post office box because we didn't really have the address yet. And there was a check in the mail, anonymous donor. It was a, you know, not a check, because then you see on the check, it was something else that, you know, the person said, "I don't want you to know who I am, but I'm going to give you $1,000 a month." I went, wow. And then another fella in our church who was involved in the military, certain things that looked into the Russian espionage, he would tell me there's a lot of things out here and right off the islands that would really scare you to death. He got a raise and he gave that $200 to me for that. So it was like God came through. And then eventually when the church got healthy enough, because I wasn't taking a salary from the church, you know, we were able to get a salary from the church. And then I told those guys, "Hey, you know, the church is supporting now. You don't have to." I thought that's good, because when Moses said, you know, bring the offering for the building of the tabernacle, it said they brought so much, Moses had to say, "No, stop, don't give any more." I don't think you ever hear these TV evangelists say, "Oh, don't give any more. We've got enough." But I was glad I was able to say that to, you know, the anonymous donor. Well, he goes on, verse 12, we'll go down to verse 14. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend. And he said, "Behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. And his friend answered and said, "This is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand." So interesting. God's providence. It just means that God, He puts us in circumstances that are His circumstances. He does different things that He does. And we just come in and we don't realize it. And then maybe after the fact, we do realize it. It's like this property, you know, unbelievable, getting 6 acres in Hawaii for $800,000. Can you imagine that? I mean, providence. And yet we looked for property for a long time. And actually, our realtor was an unbeliever, but he liked us. He liked the church. And he brought me up here. We looked at this. We, you know, they wanted 2.1 or 1.2 mil. And we said, well, what about 800,000? They took it. So we got 6 acres. And, you know, providence of God. And he always does that in a person's life. He always does that. You see, here in this situation, they had a dream, they had an interpretation of the dream, and God did two things by that providence. Two things. One, he put terror in the hearts of the Midianites. And the second thing, he gave courage to the hearts of the Israelites. Those two things, by this providential dream and interpretation by the enemy, no less. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 45:7, "I form light and I create darkness. I make weal," that term W-E-A-L, which means well-being, "and I create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things." So what was this? Two things? Well, darkness to the Midianites, light to the Israelites, woe to the Midianites, and well-being to the Israelites. You see, God did that through his providence. Verse 15. "And it came about when Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation that he bowed in worship and returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands.'" So he bowed in worship. What a important position for all of us. You know, just the idea, that position of submission, that place of trust, that place of dependence. He said, that's what it is. I mean, when you bow, that's the idea. It's an acknowledgement that the battle is not ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's what he's recognizing. What's going on in your life right now? What's going on in my life right now? What are we dealing with? Maybe horrendous kind of things, maybe difficult things with people, or maybe circumstances. There's just a lot of things that go on. You know, do we look to the Lord? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. He's still sovereign. You know, it's not like he's taking a vacation. He doesn't know what's going on in Hawaii or the United States or the world. He knows what's going on. The Bible says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in his triumph in Christ." Notice the word always, not sometimes. It says always. And so Gideon, he's worshiping, notice, before the victory, before the battle, when he's facing a strong enemy. Oh, it's easy to worship after the battle when we've got the victory, when we don't need any faith anymore, you know, when we've conquered. No fear now. The battle's over. The Lord won it for us, so we don't need faith. We don't need to fear. It's over, so we can worship now. But he does it beforehand. I think one of the things that really lifts the spirit is to worship the Lord. You know, worship the Lord, you know, before you see the victory, before you see the outcome of that horrible situation that might be pending before you. I think it was Spurgeon that said, "If we pray in time of peace, we will not have to plead in time of battle." A lot of people, when they get in the thick of it, they just cry out to God like crazy. It's good to cry out to Him beforehand. Well, verse 16, go down to verse 18. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hands of them all, with torches inside the pitchers. Verse 17, and he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpets all around the camp and say, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.'" So three companies of 100, and Gideon said, "Now look at me, look at my company, look at me." That's mentoring. That's mentoring for ministry with seasoned saints, or those that God really chooses for the ministry. "Follow my lead," Gideon is saying. Here's what and how to do ministry or to do battle. That's so important. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, "That which I've received from the Lord do I declare unto you," Paul says. "Follow me even as I follow Christ," Paul says. You see, Elijah said, "You'll get a double portion of my ministry if you keep your eyes on me." Keep your eyes on the leader as they're leading, you know, in Christ, as they're following Christ. You know, if they go astray, you know, you bail out and you follow Christ. I think Pastor Chuck, what a great example Chuck was. That spiritual DNA that he put in so many pastors, so many leaders, so many people, men and women. But ultimately, we know that spiritual DNA, that which we are, it's modeled by, you know, seasoned leaders. But ultimately, it's fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's always looking to Jesus. You see, if you have men or women that are really modeling Jesus, then hang out with them. You're going to be strong in the faith. Well, verse 19, we'll go all the way to verse 23, ending off here. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. And when the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing, and cried, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And each stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran, crying out as they fled. And when they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army. And the army fled as far as Beth Shitti, toward Zerath, as far as the edge of Abel Mehalah by Tabitha. And the men of Israel were summoned from Naphtali and Asher and all Manasseh, and they pursued Midian. You know, prayer is good. Lord, let the enemy turn on themselves. Let this woke culture turn on themselves. And you are seeing in some portions it's happening. It's so ridiculous. It's so nonsensical. But here, notice what we see here is that those who were fearful earlier, and he lists them, and they left, now they've joined the battle as they observe the example of what God was doing through their brethren. As they saw the example, they got back into the fight. All of a sudden, their faith was increased. You see, we're going to mentor, we're going to train others by our example of what they see in us. Your example can really affect those around you, can turn timid saints into courageous servants, like it did here. all of a sudden they're in the battle. Wow, yeah, we can do it. They did it, we can do it. They're part of us. That's good. I think something is interesting here that we can make a spiritual application. Notice when these clay pots were broken, the fire inside came out. It was just smoldering, and then it was broken, and then it came out. The torch was lit. It has a lot to say with us, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have God's treasure inside of us. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and 8 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." One translation says, "in jars of clay," or "in clay pots, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves." You see, the fire of God falls in and through our life when we're broken, when we're broken, when we're humbled. God's light shines through broken vessels. You see, it's the proud. It's the self-willed. Pretty hard to have God's light shine. But when the clay pots are cracked, you can see the light. And when they're broken, you can see the full light. You might say we're cracked pots. I mean, that's basically what we are, you know. But that's what he's saying. But it says in verse 24 to the end, "And Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, 'Come down against Midian and take the waters before them as far as Beth Bara and the Jordan.' So all the men of Ephraim were summoned, and they took the waters as far as Beth Bara and the Jordan. And they captured the two leaders of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And they killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and they killed Zeb at the winepress of Zeb while they pursued Midian. And they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon from across the Jordan." Now, it seems like a happy ending there, but not so much, because there was trouble in the camp after the victory. Why would there be trouble in the camp after the victory? I mean, everybody's celebrating. You've defeated the enemy. Oh, no, but there's jealousy now. Jealousy can really destroy the church. Jealousy between groups, between churches, you know, can really have a horrible consequence, especially in the body of Christ. But we're going to find with Gideon, a soft answer turns away wrath, and we're going to see the miracle of a soft answer next time.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 7. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather me, we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah,
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 8. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.